Welcome to Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I am Joe the Wookiee Riot. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and everything, but mostly geek stuff. A place where we get to let our geek flag fly and talk about all things geek. As I've said before, this isn't an amalgamation of geek news or a comprehensive guide to all genres or the world of geekdom. Hopefully it's just a fun place to cover some geek news, comics, The Simpsons, Star Wars, or whatever randomness finds its way onto the recording. But let us get started.
Well, hey, friends. Welcome to level 390 of Laugh It Up Fuzzball. That's right. A guest episode. And me and, oh, who is it? Who? It rhymes with who now? Blue is it? Blue. That's right. Blue. I'm talking about blue. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Yeah, we got none other than Benjamin Bluford Blue, the Earl of Blueberry, here to shoot the poop. Shoot.
I do love poop shooting.
Yeah, like full disclosure, we did have a plan to record a spoiler review for the Avatar series. However, we were gonna record with Roman and he woke up feeling like poop.
Like he was shooting.
Yeah. Oh, I think he wishes he could shoot the poop because he just has the poop. So he doesn't feel well, and he felt bad about not doing the thing. But that's, if you don't feel well, you don't do the thing. That's just how it works. But we really want to keep him for the conversation, for the animaniacs, if you will. Yeah, that's how I think of you two guys. You're the animaniacs. Animaniacs. So copyright Joe and Blue and Roman. But yeah, so since we're not doing that, we're like, well, we'll still get together because this, if nothing else, this is our bi-monthly bro catch-up time. Because you hear us record for however long we do, but we talk for much longer than that. So generally there's a good 15 to 60 minutes before, just depending. So we're like, well, yeah. Well, like, Danny was so in love with the last time we brought back the blue sessions, if you will, that we're like, not do it again, and just talk about whatever's clever.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about whatever's clever, but first and foremost, I had something I wanted to start this episode with when Roman was going to be on the podcast. It was actually it should have been in the Fantabulous Fuzzballs focus of the last episode. But I was like, you know what? I need the Animaniacs to chime in on this because I want the best due diligence done for it. And even though I know the person and I know a few of the things, I didn't think I was the right person to pay tribute. So Roman's not here, unfortunately, but I've already pre-talked to Blue about this and he feels up to the task. We need to discuss the passing of Akira Toriyama at age 68.
Man.
Sad poop out of the way, you know?
Yeah. Get it out first. This one is one of those kind of like, for me, it hits as hard as when Stan Lee passed. Although I didn't have as much the pleasure of being next to Stan Lee as much as Roman did. Roman got to work with him a little more intimately than I did. But Akira Toriyama... I don't know if Roman is the same way on this, but Akira Toriyama's artwork, Dragon Ball itself, was kind of like, I guess you could say, like my art genesis. It really was one of those things where I was drawing comic books and comic book, you know, art, Liefeld, you know, Jim Lee and stuff, and trying to emulate their work. Like for a long time, and I would get made fun of a lot of the time when I was younger, when I was doing that kind of stuff, because I was real young. We're talking like but there was a cartoon that I always watched with my dad because he saw it when he went to Japan, and he had brought me back a figure that he thought was super cute from the show. It was a Krillin doll from the original Dragon Ball. I still have it. It's still in package, mint condition. It is a wonderful little figure. And when you press the little Kame symbol on his back, the little turtle skull symbol, he kicks. He does a little kick. That all being said, it was Akira Toriyama's work on Dragon Ball, and that subsequently, as I turned into a teenager and got a little older on Dragon Ball Z, that really kind of brought me out of my shell and made me realize, oh, I always knew that there were different type of artworks, but I had always seen, like, you know, things like the Thundercats, He-Man, and like the Centurions mask, stuff like that. It always kind of reminded me of that work of you know, Jim Lee and all these comic book artists and stuff. You know, my mom would study Frank Frazetta and what's his name, Boris. And it really felt, and I know this is how a lot of people felt with Akira Toriyama, was like the artwork was theirs. Because, I mean, gosh, Dragon Ball came out, 1984. And it's been around for a really long time. That's a year after I was born, my goodness. And, you know, it was in syndication here for probably through the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, if I remember correctly. Because I remember seeing it on, like, old TVs, you know, and being like, oh, this cartoon is sweet. This is the character where this came from and blah, blah, blah. And as Dragon Ball Z came out, like, it was so influential. Like, here were characters doing all sorts of crazy things and powers and whatnot. And I don't know if Akira Toriyama knew how much of he kind of influenced everybody, knew how much of a part he was going to play on, like, the global scene. It's kind of ridiculous. I don't know if you've seen any of the the news stuff, like a whole bunch of cartels in some country down south in South America, like had a ceasefire to honor Akira Toriyama and stuff like that. And Dragon Ball, mind you, I'm going off on tangents because this wasn't planned, and I have a lot of feelings about this, but Dragon Ball wasn't his only thing. Like, his first one was Dr. Slump with the little robot girl. I always mispronounce her poor little name. It's Arale. And he also had a couple others, like the desert one, which I think was still going. I don't even know if he finished the desert. Like, his passing hit so many people, and his influence has been felt throughout everything. Like, everything. Flipping Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Lab, like, all of those cartoons that we used to watch, you know, like, early 90s, like, just coming out of the 80s, all had influences from, like, Dragon Ball. You know what I mean? It's insane. And then later on, even more, you know, a lot of the Avatar stuff had influences from it too, like the way certain powers manifested and worked. And it's bananas how much of an influence this guy had, like, one person had across everything. And it's such a loss. What a freaking tragedy. Hit me right in the feels, that one.
Yeah, like, I mean, I did a little bit of research on him when I thought I was going to do the RIP, and then I decided not to, and, like, to leave it to my betters. But I think it's so interesting that, like, he was interested in drawing from beginning, but when he tried to, like, break into the industry, his first thing was, like, a Star Wars parody.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is good, but we can't publish your Star Wars parody. do something else, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised you haven't mentioned Chrono Trigger yet, you know what I mean?
I haven't even thought about video games. Video games, you're talking Chrono Trigger, Dragon Quest, which is a bigger series in Japan than the Final Fantasies are. And if you haven't played a Dragon Quest, play a Dragon Quest. They're really good. Blue Dragon, to Ball Number One, which is one of the most obscure yet ridiculously fun fighting games like ever. The numerous Dragon Ball fighting games, of course.
Right.
Goodness. He lent himself to so many video games and just works. kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, like, 68's way too young, and, like, for it to be, like, tragic with, like, a subdural hematoma, you know, and just, like, gone before anybody had any idea, just burnt out bright. Mm-hmm. But his legacy is huge, you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you know who he is, or you've been maybe not influenced, but like affected by something that he's done, you have. You really have. Because he was so huge. And just the fact that Dragon Ball is like the best selling manga of all time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I first encountered his stuff with Dragon Ball Z when it came to the States. But it's clean. It's great. It's very accessible. It's just lovely. I think it's sort of great that they've, you know, Dragon Ball Super that he was working on. It just finished, but they it's gonna be continued. You know, they're gonna have a story. They just gotta take the month to figure out like who, what, when, where, why.
Exactly.
So many, you know, chapter books of entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, he even did a collaboration with the One Piece guy.
Yes.
And,
they considered him like their teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like the creator of Naruto and the creator of One Piece are just like the world of anime manga is like just less now. And those guys are huge in their own right, you know?
Oh, of course. Both of their works growing so high. And when I read their little notes to him, I lost it. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
A little bit of dust. A little bit of dust in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're human, and when somebody, you know, when somebody has that big an influence on you, that's only natural.
Yeah.
I think Roman drew a really cool, like, tribute picture.
Oh, I haven't had the heart. Every time I've tried. Really? Yeah, I've tried a couple times, and every time I started, I had to stop.
It's just you saw Roman's drawing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just zipping away on the little golden cloud. I think it's cute that he was incredibly like shy, so he had Roboto Ryama.
Yeah, his little robot form.
Yeah. He was doing it before Gorillaz was doing it.
Yep.
it's just pretty freaking cool. Like, just what a body of work, and what an impact on the world. You know, for like a guy like me, like, you know, I have animaniac friends, but I don't proclaim to be like, you know, that I know so much about everything, but I definitely not only know his work, but know his name.
Yeah.
So when I saw that he'd passed, I was like, oh crap, that sucks. You know? So, but I mean, you have all the time in the world to talk as much as you want about him, Mr. Blue.
I'm afraid that I'm going to have like a little more dust in the studio if I continue.
Okay, that's fair.
So I just, especially with everything else, you know, going on in my life at the moment, like it's been one super great loss after another. And I've been like, oh, shit, like I feel a little overwhelmed. with all this right now. It's been a crazy time, but I gotta say, like, at the very least, like, he's not one of those people that are going by unappreciated, because I feel like sometimes some folks go and I feel like they were not given the credit that they were due when they pass. You know, like a Tina Turner, I remember when she passed, it really truly felt like it was like two people said something about it and then that was it. And I was like, yo, what the heck? Like, she definitely deserved more than that at the very least. And I don't feel that with him. Like, with everybody has been kind of coming out of the woodwork and being like, you know, their condolences, their understanding, like talking about how he influenced them and the whole nine. So that's been cool. I've been appreciative of that.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's the passing, like, time is a thief. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. For sure. So, time is stolen away. One more person, one more moment. So, bummer, big bummer.
For sure.
But you know what? Let's transition from something that's a bummer to something that you can have a little joy about. First off, you're 9 days away, Blue, from Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire.
Ooh, yeah, I am.
Do you have any things to put down for posterity before this movie becomes a thing?
Oh, bruh. Like, the new creature, what's it called? Shimo? I'm in. I'm all in. Ready to see what this thing can do.
Is that the Australopithecus?
No, it's the ice one. It's, I don't even know if you've seen it, Joe.
No, it's, I probably haven't.
It's big. Is a big creature.
It's a Shimo Godzilla?
No, it's not a Zilla, but it is a monster, and it is probably,
ooh,
I would say, from what I've seen of it so far, it's probably going to be like, what would you call it? An enemy, obviously. It's going to do something. And when it does that something, it's gonna be bad. So I'm pretty sure Zilla and its nickname,
Sub-Zero Destroyer.
Yeah. But I mean, basically, yes.
I'm on the legendary MonsterVerse wiki.
Yeah, it's gonna be something, and I'm super stoked to see an ice monster. I feel like that's something that hasn't really been done as of yet. Like an ice creature of some sort. So I'm really super stoked to see what Shimo does and how it operates and the whole nine.
It was spoiled in a toy line, as all good spoilers should be. Apparently in the Call of Duty collaboration, there was an image on a cave painting of Godzilla battling it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Four-legged reptile, purplish white, and apparently you can hear its roar 3 times in the trailer.
Wow.
Oh.
I don't know which ones is it's, because I heard a lot of roars, and I know Godzilla's roar by heart, both new and old, but I don't know that one, and I know that there have been so many different monsters that I can't tell like which of the new ones are which. Like the original Rodan, I could probably point that one out. The original Ghidorah, easy. Super easy. Like, there's a lot of roars that I remember of the originals and what they sound like, but which, now that I say that out loud, sounds kind of ridiculous, and I'm the biggest nerd ever, but whatever. I don't care. I like it. So
you're Kai Blue. It's okay. It's on brand. I did. I was unaware of the Shimo, so thanks for sharing.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be wild. It's so wild looking. I love its design. I like a lot of the designs in the legendary Not all of them, but a lot of them. And I appreciate them taking the time to actually develop new creatures for us to see do battle and stuff like that. It's going to be pretty cool.
Is there a name for the Australopithecus?
Yeah, Scar King.
Scar King. Suko.
There's also a baby. I don't know where the baby comes in or what the baby has to do with anything, but we'll see.
The baby is Suko.
Oh, okay. The baby is Suko. Got it.
Yeah, and then Scar King is the... And that's Scar with the K. And when it's Scar King and King Kong, it's KKKK. The extra K is just not okay for the KKK.
So, man.
All right. Who is legendary Godzilla's girlfriend? He's in a long-term relationship with Miki Segusa?
What?
I don't know, man. Now there's an article that I want to dive into that says the many loves of Godzilla, and I just need to stop.
I remember having a girlfriend.
I just typed in Godzilla X Kong Australopithecus, and this is where the interwebs took me. I have not clicked that.
Weird part of the internet coming up.
I've closed the tab, my friend. I have closed it.
Okay.
But are you stoked for Godzilla Kong?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Super, I mean, the
super excited for Godzilla Minus One to have won that Oscar. Oh man, that's not chance.
Yeah, that's cool. I talked a little bit about the geeky wins at the Oscars on the last episode. But that's pretty righteous. I really need to see that movie. It just needs to become available somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you haven't watched it, you definitely need to check it out.
I have not. The real question is, are you going to go see Godzilla X Kong with me?
I mean, yeah, I'm totally down.
Oh, yeah, I'm down too. Let's figure it out.
Okay.
Figure it out.
Absolutely. I'll go see it with everybody. I'll watch it a couple times.
Yeah, I want to go see it, but I want to go see it with you. So, yeah.
If I have a Godzilla in my lap, don't look. Just let it be.
Is that a Godzilla in your lap, or are you just happy to see me?
Yes.
Shooting the poop. But is there anything else in your life that you're excited for, Mr. Blue?
Going along the lines of Godzilla, it's really crazy to me how many franchises and things are kind of sticking Godzilla into it that didn't really need. Like, I know the Call of Duties had King Kong jump in. And now this other game that's on Steam that I've been really wanting to get, Steam Summer Sale or Spring Sale, one of the sales, I think it's Spring Sale, is up and going right now. For those of you who play video games, you can get absolutely amazing discounts right now, up to 85-90% off on some of these things. A ton of incredible games for less than $10, some of them less than $5. Like, if you're a PC gamer or if you have something that can actually run Steam on it, just, you know, jump in there. Dave the Diver is one of those games. It is $15 on its sale right now, but Dave the Diver is a chubby dude who goes diving, and he fights a bunch of different types of underwater fish, aquatic monsters, all in the name of bringing the creatures back to be eaten by people at his sushi bar. he basically lives like in a kind of Hawaii-esque area, tropical island, where he likes to laze about. But he does do his own work. He goes out and fights whatever monster. And for some odd reason, maybe due to, Godzilla Minus One or whatever, Godzilla's jumping in there too. And it's going to be, I don't know if it's a fightable monster or a monster on your side, but Godzilla is going to be in that game. And I have to buy the game. I've been teetering on whether or not I wanted to buy the game. But now that I know Godzilla's going to be in there, like, I am absolutely going to get this game. 100%. I'm down. Like, they sold me. I was like, what? And it's got Godzilla? Sold!
That's funny. It's like the only game that hit my radar recently is Chronic Blunt Punch, Jay and Silent Bob. Comes out next year. Yeah. So it's gonna be like an anime fighting game with the characters of Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh wow, that is too funny.
And like on your Steam sale, you should actually, if you're into, you should look at Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl Arcade Edition. There was a video game that exists. Really? That probably is on sale. It came out May of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's gonna be another Jay and Silent Bob game. So yeah.
Oh my god, I love the artwork for it.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
They made Silent Bob look like a total badass.
Yeah, the art's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it's super great. Wow.
Yeah, but that like hit my radar, and I was like, oh, what's that? Okay.
Hey, it's movies.
Yeah. That's great. Just if you're a fan of the Viewisk universe, it probably won't disappoint you, provided you like that kind of game, I suppose.
Yeah. Very 8-bit side-scrolling action along the lines of River City Ransom. If those of you are retro gamers or like a more retro version of what the Scott Pilgrim games are, for those of you who play.
Yeah. What else? Did you don't the biggest excitement of my week, other than like new episodes of Bad Batch? Did you watch the Acolyte trailer?
Yes, I did. Like, holy wow! There was a lot to unpack in that trailer.
Yeah, especially for just a minute and a half.
Yeah. Like, I believe I was asking you like what like time period this takes place in, and I have so many questions. I have so many questions.
100 years before the Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
So just
so many amazing looking characters. The person with the dreads, I was all for. I was like, oh my, hello, hi.
That's probably Amanda Stenberg's character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Everything that was kind of going on. I know Darth John was very much in the camp of like, I don't want to have to wait for a new thing and either feel disappointed or get real excited and then be disappointed or whatever. He was kind of lost up in his feels a little bit about it. But then he saw that there were multiple versions of the of folks using the yellow sabers, and he was like, now I gotta watch it.
That's so funny. I also am a big fan of the Yellow Saber.
Yeah.
Although is Darth John's Batu saber a Yellow Saber?
Yep.
Okay. So like, I do not. I got a green one. You know, ignite the green. But the main reason I didn't opt for a Yellow Saber is that crystal. I don't like the sound of it.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
So.
I feel like a lot of people.
Yeah. So. That. Yeah, I love the color, but of that particular kyber and that particular saber, I just didn't like the sound of it. And I never even purchased the yellow kyber, which is strange. Wow. But yeah. I only have actually the green kyber in the saber. So, but yeah, but I always wanted a yellow lightsaber. I mean, freaking KOTOR. I made sure I had yellow sabers.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Jedi Temple guards, like, that excites me to know, and that not just yellow sabers, but double-sided yellow sabers.
Yes. Same. I'm very excited to see where they're going with this. I'm very curious to know what exactly is going on. I guess we'll see as things progress, but, like, yeah, very cool. Very interesting things going on.
Well, the best thing, it's like Danny was saying, this is deep lore that used to only be the domain of like fan films.
Yeah.
And like, and the fact that it's so before the Phantom Menace, it gets to exist as its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, Jedi and all that, like, we are aware of a lot of that stuff, especially from the prequel movies, but yeah, it's pretty dope. It's there's so many unknowns. And I sort of love that. And it could very well be like a fun, detective story with the Jedi being killed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. And actually, I was talking about it at work and somebody's like, they've never done a detective story in Star Wars. And I'm like, yeah, they have. And they're like, yo, give me an example. I was like, Obi-Wan uncovering the Kamino saber dart and finding the Kaminoans, and then like going further to Geonosis. Like the entirety of that Attack of the Clones is Obi-Wan sleuthing.
Yeah,
the entirety of it. And they're like, oh, I guess. And I'm like, all right, fine. Yeah, I'm just I'm a prequel lover, I suppose.
Yep.
But but no, dude, it looks so dope.
Yeah, it really does.
I freaking Carrie Ann Moss. Come on, brother.
Okay. I didn't want to bring it up because, you know, but you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, we only got a brief glimpse, but Yona Swatamoa's Kelnaka Wookiee Jedi. Wookiee? Yes.
Wookiee.
You know, you've never slept so great until you've slept in the lap of a Jedi Wookiee. I'm Joe the Wookiee, right? Of course, I'm like, if anything, I was like, my only critique of this trailer, I didn't get to see enough of Kelnaka. And then, like, reading that he's actually, like, he's a loner and he's sort of, like, lived a solitary life a la, like, Luke on Octo. So he's being pulled into the action in some way, shape, or form. And there was a part of me that wanted Buriaga to be the Wookiee, but it's okay. There could be more than one Wookiee Jedi. Shout out to Lobaka from the EU. So, yeah.
You know, there were some aliens in there that I want to know about now that I'm very suddenly curious about.
Okay, like what?
Like that young little Jedi that was sitting there with the others, that brownish one that was not a Wookiee. At the beginning of the trailer, like
the one with the beard,
what the heck was that? Yeah, what the heck was that?
So we've seen that alien with the New Republic in the background, and if I'm trying to think, see, I have to go into my species brain. I'm probably gonna have to look it up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. But it makes me want to look stuff up again, like, ooh, exciting.
I mean, we definitely, so there is one character from the High Republic books that is confirmed in the show, and you actually, it's the Jedi you see opening the door with her hand, and she's a Mirlin, and her name's Venestra Rowe. It's RWO, but it's Venestra Rowe, so that's pretty freaking good, and I love getting to see a new species. She's super, super young in the High Republic books. So she's like a prodigy. Like, she's just too dang freaking good. She becomes a master when she's a teenager. But we don't know how long the species lives for, but like she's old. So that sort of puts a timeline on when the High Republic books exist.
Yeah.
But there's people that have thought that Plo Koon might be in there as a Keldor. So that could be freaking cool. Daphne Keen is an alien. She's like part Thielen. And then, it's the species. It's a Tarsunt.
Tarsunt.
Yeah. So, but the one that we saw was when Hosni and Prime gets destroyed in The Force Awakens. He was one of the people that's there before the flash and the boom.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but getting to see more, and then there's lots of other aliens. The one that sort of looks like a Rodian but isn't, I didn't find any information on that particular one.
Okay.
So I just saw there's a pretty good picture of the alien, but I mean that's also the beauty of getting these stories. We get new stuff.
Yes, because I like deep lore. And the fact that we're going to be getting more deep lore from the Star Wars universe, like the universe itself, you know what I mean? Not just like the Skywalker saga or whatever, We're going beyond, like we're going further in the past. We're looking at history. I love that stuff. Like if you, to me, as a fan of the series, if you really want to get me more interested in what is going on, like give me the lore, give me background, give me history lessons, like in the stuff, like let me look up something while you're showing me something crazy. You know what I mean? All for
right. Me. Yeah, it's pretty freaking cool. Like when you were listening to it when we were talking or watching it, I was waiting for you to like the shock and awe of that final shot from the of the thing, but alas, it didn't get the gasp that I was expecting from Iretefet Mekel. So, but that's okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But what'd you like the spinning saber through all the stuff? Did you dig that? Or,
yeah. Oh yeah, of course.
Like I really
liked it. I think my gasp came in when like I saw the multiple yellow sabers amongst all the sabers turning on. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, and I just love the mix of martial arts and lightsabers, you know?
Yes, very much so.
And I heard that they had like two different fight choreographers. Like they really, really took it serious.
Oh wow. That's rad.
Then there's also the beauty that Leslie Headland is like not only she was raised on the special editions of the originals, she's a prequel kid, and also she freaking really, really loves the extended universe. Mm-hmm. So and they happened to, you know, she came up with the idea for a show and then, you know, the powers that be were like, you know, this would fit really, really good in the High Republic. They were like, oh, okay, yeah, let's set it there. But, you know, the brain trust are for her coming up with the story, it didn't necessarily get come up with as a story that originally would exist in the timeline that it's at. So, like, I think it's going to speak to a lot of people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of it has, like, a darker edge to it. And it's almost like... The prequels are so bright and shiny, and as much as I like them, you know what I mean, it gets dark in episode 3, but like we had hopes, right? For Star Wars to get a little dark and gritty, and I almost like just I mean it's too soon to say, it's a minute and a half, but it almost feels like the promise of like what we wanted, you know? We wanted Star Wars to get to this point. So I don't know, I'm really, really excited, and June 4th is just around the corner. Yeah,
sure is.
A little more than 2 months. Oh, yeah. You got to look up the image of Buriaga with his like goatee and stuff. He very, very much makes me think of what's his noodle in Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. Carrie, what's his last name?
I see him. Here he is.
Yeah. But what's He's in The Last Samurai. He's such a freaking great actor. Why can I not think of his name?
I saw a lot of people in The Last Samurai.
But Fuki Wookie. Kerry Tagawa. There you go.
There you go.
So his gorilla. I was like, oh, I see similarities, and I love it, and I love it. So yeah, but so freaking good. So much excitement. Freaking ships crashing and force powers and fighting, and I apparently in one shot, like one of the characters is a leader of a coven of witches. Yeah.
Ooh, Buriaga. Their lightsaber has a crossguard. That's rad.
Oh yeah, Buriaga's dope, dude.
Real cool.
Yeah. And I've only read like a book and a half of the High Republic. I really want to like read so much more about it. But like in the first book, like his problem is he feels too hard. Like he is so empathetic. So, like, when all this stuff is going down, it's just, like, really, really overwhelming for him.
Oh, wow.
And then he has the, you know, the extra thing that he doesn't speak basic. So, yeah. But Buriaga's dope. And hopefully Kelnaka gives us even more goodness.
Is it just not possible for Wookiees to speak basic? Like, give me a rundown on the biology.
So, with the exception of if you believe in the extended universe, see, the problem, children, is not that you don't believe in the extended universe, it's that the extended universe doesn't believe in you. But there has been in the extended universe a Wookiee that could speak basic, but the problem is it was like described by like as a genetic like defect or something. Like there was a Wookiee named Ralrichine, and he had a speech impediment that basically allowed him to speak basic. But like, unless you have a speech impediment, no, you're just speaking Sherwook.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you just learn a little bit of Sherwook and you'll be okay.
You're all good. Yeah.
Right. You just start up with say hello and then you move on.
There you go.
Yeah. So, in the legends, Ralrichine was the only Wookiee I know of that spoke basic. And it always sort of made me sad that it was like a speech impediment thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. You and me make pretend.
See, but that's the kind of thing that I like to hear about. You know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that Yoda's species is like a mystery. Like, we've only seen three. We have no idea how they reproduce. Is like Grogu any kind of relation to the other two? Do they bud like fungus? Do they spore? Like, what is it? I want to know, but at the same time, don't tell me.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope that's a mystery that's always allowed to remain.
Yeah, me too.
But
just because like a brain is like. Oh, I feel like it's been such a mystery for so long at this point that if they did give it to us, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah. And I don't think the existence of Grogu necessitates that mystery being solved.
Exactly. Yeah. Same.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm caught up on Bad Batch. At some point, Bad Batch will finish and I'll do an entire spoiler review with somebody. But I'm enjoying it. I don't know if you've caught any of it.
No, we were going to watch it together with John.
Nice. But yeah, the most recent episode was most enjoyable, my friends. I've not caught it. So this morning was such a quandary. So I actually woke up early to watch the Bad Batch episode. And I was like so tired. Hit the coffee pot, pulled up under a blanket, fired up the Disney Plus. And then I was like, oh shit, X-Men 97 dropped today. And then I was like, decisions. But I'm like, no, when I made the choice to wake up early, it was to watch Bad Batch. That's what I did. And that's 22 minutes versus maybe 44 minutes. So this is what we're going to do. But I know that you and Danny have seen the first two episodes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it seemed like you liked it better than Danny did.
Yeah. Which I find a little odd. Definitely seemed something that would have been up his alley to me because, man, it's campy. It is like straight up old style. If you want to feel what the original 90s cartoon was dishing out, this is it. Like, this is it.
Okay.
Yeah, like 100%. Which is why I was so confused when he said that he wasn't feeling it. And I had to ask him, like, why? I think his reason why is ridiculously silly. And I fully 100% do not agree. I thought it was great. I do take
share
issue
with... Share with the class what his reason is.
So... Okay, Danny, I love you, because I know you're going to listen to this. So, Danny, I love you. You've got a lot of really good takes. I don't think this is one of them. But I will say that the animation style has been, in my opinion, improved. There's a lot of old-style animations Like when you look at the openings of, like, I don't know, something like Thundercats, the Centurion's Mask, even, you know, and to a lesser extent, like, you know, Masters of the Universe and stuff. Like the openings had this really great animation, American done, you know, it was, but they still had like a little bit of a flair of a Japanese influence. I think he takes issue the most with the fact that there is a large Japanese influence in the style of not only movement, but kind of the action scenes, the way that a lot of the animation kind of takes place, a lot of the angles in which it's shot. As a director, I felt like there were some shots in there that, yes, they were absolutely influenced by like animes and action animes and stuff like that. And I was like, and I gotta say, those shots that were done, I was like, oh shit, that was clean as fuck. Like, holy wow, that was really good and impressed me. I understand that he wants it to feel old, like the original show did. However, at the same time, the original show had a lot of what we used to call inferred action rather than actual action. And in animation, when you have it like an inferred action is when you like kind of you do basically a still frame with a lot of action lines behind it, like inferring that, oh, this attack just happened or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's a little more still than, you know, like what you would see in like an actual, you know, like an action anime or something like that, where they have a full follow through of the motion and stuff like that. That used to happen a lot. Okay. They even did that in like a lot of old animes. They would do that. But nowadays, the animation style, you know, in terms of movement is way more fluid, much more animated. And I don't know if it was really so much that as maybe like the look of the characters that he was really not feeling. But to me, I liked all of it. I was like, yeah, give me all of this. I like all of this. As an animation person, like, I was really digging it.
So far, is it okay for Shawnee?
So far, I mean, Cyclops had a number of cool moves. There was a little bit of the violence and stuff, but I don't think it was any more than what was normal. Jean is pregnant, so, you know, nobody said anything bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Oh, the writing is, if you want to see how we were watching shows back in the day, the writing is 1,000% like campy 90s writing.
Nice.
It is the script is so 90s. It almost hurts. It's really ridiculously over the top campy. Like, it did not need to go this far, but here we are. So
that's pretty good. All right. So
I think you'll enjoy it.
I can't wait to watch it. So I have one word to say to you and to see if you know about it. Do you know about the Pooniverse?
The Pooniverse? You mean with the scary poo?
Well, there is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, one and two. But do you know about the Pooniverse, Monsters Assemble?
No. What the heck is that?
So the Jagged Edge Productions and ITN Studios, the people behind Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and then Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, have come out and announced that by 2025, there will be a movie called Pooniverse, Monsters Assemble. They are creating their own universe called the Twisted Childhood Universe, and basically inspired by like Freddy V. Jason. They have upcoming movies. Here, I'll give you the slate. Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio Unstrung, which will then culminate in all of these monsters joining together to defeat humanity in Pooniverse Monsters Assemble.
Wow.
And besides Bambi and Pinocchio and Peter Pan, they also have, it says, Sleeping Beauty and the Mad Hatter are also said to be on the way.
Oh, and, goodness.
they're not just doubling down on Blood and Honey. They're like quadrupling down. And I don't even first off, Pooniverse is the worst but most awesome name ever. and the Twisted Childhood Universe, the TCU, I don't even know. Like, are these some rich kids that just have lots of money to waste?
Well, I mean, okay, I can't judge them too hard because they did that whole thing. I don't know if you remember when, what's his name? McFarlane had released all those Twisted Fairy Tales action figure lines from all those stories that were being written.
I remember those.
Yeah. So I remember those. I can't fight them. Yeah.
I remember those nightmares.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they have grand ambition for the world of Blood and Honey and the horror movies based on public domain IP.
Yep.
I guess it's not IP once it's public domain, right?
I mean, yeah, basically.
So then it's everybody's property?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, says we. But I just figured I'd share it with you because I like saw the thing and I was like, what in the world? It was a graphic from this article that I found. It's through IGN, so it's pretty reputable. And I was just like, surely this is false. So I was like, let me look it up. And I was like, wowza, this is real. And like, not like 2030, like 2025. And Blood and Honey releases in 6 days on the 26th, the second one. Mm-hmm. So they have plans to just like steamroll us with lots of these movies. And I'm sure they're pretty cheap to make, you know?
Oh.
So, yeah. But the crazy thing is, one of them's bound to be pretty good. You know what I mean?
For sure.
When you're making so many of them. And I mean, they're B horror flicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know anybody that's seen Blood and Honey, do you?
No, but you just reminded me of another movie that we'll talk about after this.
Okay. But yeah. All right. So that's what's the movie?
Oh my gosh. Have you seen Hundreds of Beavers?
No.
We need to go see that movie together, sir. We need to go watch.
It's in theaters?
I think it is in theaters right now, but I need to find out where and times and the whole nine. Because all I have seen are clips and a couple reviews from some trusted sources of people who watched the movie. We have a lot of the same tastes. And they were like, yo, this is the most genius, hilarious, crazy movie that we've ever seen in our lives. And it was it's a $200,000 budget for this movie. And it's almost 2 hours. It's like an hour 48. And there's only one line of dialogue. And it's a black and white film of a guy who ends up in a place where he's a real person in a place where there's cartoon physics, and he has to use the cartoon physics to his advantage to survive, basically. And everybody said it's the funniest freaking thing. It's super crazy, and I really want to watch it.
It came out in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's still in theaters anywhere.
It says Glendale.
Okay.
That's 21 miles from us, but I don't know.
Yeah. Did I ever talk on the podcast about going to see the Muppet movie up in, I think it was Burbank.
Really?
No, it wasn't Burbank. Oh, crap. Go to Vamp about something because I got to look it up. I want to give credit to the place.
Okay, I just want to talk about this movie just a little bit more. It's really, really crazy. Like, the beavers, the hundreds of beavers that they're talking about in this movie are all, like, people in suits. Like, they're, like, beaver suits. And You know, this is, like I said, cartoon physics, like, you know, things will flatten you instead of kill you. Things will, like, bounce off of other things, like really ridiculous cartoon logic. And you just gotta see some of the really, really insane and wacky clips of this movie, because for a $200,000 budget, it really makes me laugh just looking at some of the scenes that they have released out to people.
$200,000?
Correct. $200,000.
Where do you even find that kind of money for a movie like that?
No idea.
I'm so confused. Like, that's a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, $200,000 is a lot of money, yes. But it's not the millions from, like, studios and stuff, but, like, holy wow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think I'm closer to fine. Dude, this really took me, like, I had to, let's see, Los Angeles. I had to find, like, the name of this organ. So, El Segundo, California, in Old Town El Segundo, there is this theater called the Old Town Music Hall.
Okay.
And their claim is home of the mighty Wurlitzer Theater pipe organ.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know what a Wurlitzer is?
No, not in...
So it's a silent movie era organ. And basically, like, they can play it like a regular organ, but it also has, like, sound effects and all sorts of stuff. And okay. It's like... It's this tiny little theater that's only opened on the weekends, and we went to go see the Muppet movie play in this theater. But before they play, this guy comes out and plays this Wurlitzer, and you get to see all the pipes doing all the stuff. It's freaking bonkers, Blue.
It looks bonkers.
And they show silent movies in this theater with an accompanist playing the Wurlitzer.
Wow.
Like, and it's like... a classic. So the long and short is my mom, she's a paralegal and she does estate law for this attorney. And one of the things that they were doing, the lady left a lot of money to the organization that maintains organs like this. So my mom discovered this theater and then was like, oh, they're playing the Muppet movie. Joe would like that. So she's like, do you think the boys would like it? And I'm like, the boys who? Let's go. So... we went and it was pretty wonderful. I don't know if I talked about it here on the podcast. If I did, it's worth talking about again.
Yeah. But,
Old Town Music Hall. It's amazing.
That's amazing. And,
they have lots of stuff that they show, and it's like a really, really small, intimate, theater, and it's 100% worth. From where I live, I think it was without traffic. It's like 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty dope. And they were actually, they had a Buster Keaton, the train movie that he did was something they had coming up. But I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to make it back for this.
Yeah.
But they're showing Ben-Hur on March 30th.
Oh, wow.
They're The Thing from Another World. They're showing the original Them, Forbidden Planet. So, got a lot of stuff. And the one thing I will say is...
organs are insane.
Yeah, it's an old...
pictures of...
Yeah, it's an old theater, so your butt's going to hurt. Just saying.
Okay.
But the people that volunteer there were like, nobody will look down on you if you bring a butt pad. Okay. But in May, they're doing the Three Stooges Festival.
Neat.
So... Yeah, it's super dope. It's like one of my new favorite like finds in the LA area that I discovered. Just like places and just seeing the Wurlitzer played, just man, it was like a moment in time. Wow. And they literally, it's just them trying to preserve like film history, like a little slice of the way it used to be in bygone eras.
That's pretty crazy.
Pretty freaking great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's nice. What else you got, Mr. Blue?
I mean, other than this Hundreds of Beavers movie that we need to go see, I really want to see it. It's really absurd. I'm still a little dumbfounded by this whole Pooniverse thing that you showed me. Because, okay, so like in the Twisted Fairy Tales, we had, I don't know if you remember, but there was this video game, Alice into Madness. For those of you who don't know, Alice into Madness was like a twisted, scary take on Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, it was all spooky and whatnot. So hearing that the Pooniverse is going to have, like, you know, the Mad Hatter or something, I've seen it. I want to see their take on it, obviously. But at the same time, it's like, oh, I remember when they did that with, you know, whatever, Alice in the Madness and stuff like that, the twisted fairy tales and such. I just really love the fact that they're going balls to the walls. Yo, Disney properties, fuck them. Like, here's Bambi, here's Peter Pan, right in the front butt. We're going for it. And
right in the front butt.
Yeah, I'm just like, yep, go for it, guys. Like, this is bananas. I'm looking at their little twisted universe. What are they called? Like the titles and stuff, and how they have like the how they have the artwork for all the titles, like Neverland Nightmare and the Pinocchio.
That poster, it literally looks like Halloween Haunt's next lineup of mazes.
It really does. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. you hit it right on the. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like the Reckoning. Of Bambi, the Reckoning. That this is all incredible. Cannot wait.
Well, for several years at Halloween Haunt, they had a maze called Malice in Wonderland.
There you go.
And the mother of my middle children was a malice for at least one season.
Wow.
She also
Go ahead.
She was a Lizzie Borden in a different maze. They did 13 Murder X Manor, but yeah. Yeah,
I was gonna say in Florida when I went, they had the Twisted Fairy Tales maze, and that one was probably still my favorite horror maze to this day, and that was years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's still my favorite one. So good.
I still have that red shirt you brought me home.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I was so happy when I found it. I was like, Joe's gonna love it. He's gonna love it.
I wear it sparingly to keep it nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, the last time I wore it, Shawnee was like, I don't like clowns, Daddy. And I was like, sorry, buddy. yeah, you'll be okay. Nothing years of therapy can't fix. Yeah. I mean, there's not much else going on in my world. Like, there was the geeky, you know, just being by virtue of how I earn my credits, there's always a Star Wars conversation to be had.
Oh, of course.
So I spent too much time the other day trying to create a really bad pun based on the Orbach horses. Mm-hmm. So the joke was not good. So I don't know that I need to share it on the podcast.
Okay.
It's still being workshopped. It's like, you know, in the Star Wars universe, there's several different animals you can travel on. In one hand, you could take a dewback forward or back.
Okay.
And what she misses me dropping my other hand and just saying the word or back. It's a horse. Only one of my friends got it. And he was like, that's a deep pull. And that joke sucks. And I was like, yep. But then I told somebody that I had to race like a piss father.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what? And I was like, well, there's not really horses in Star Wars. But then I, like, dove deep, and there are horses in Star Wars.
Oh.
Like, because if we go back to the Ewok adventures...
Oh, there it is.
They did not, like... they didn't fancy up the fact that they had horses on Endor. So, There are horses on Endor, and then somebody's gone back and like changed it where like they're called Equus, and then the Ewoks call them Polga or Peonies. something like that. But it's pretty great because there even is a quote from Sindel on the Wikipedia. That's not a Star Cruiser. That's a horse. Horses don't fly. So, yeah. So you could say that you need to race like a piss horse.
There you go.
Yeah. But or you could also, if you want to race an animal, you could have Fathers from The Last Jedi. Or you could just do the Orbex from The Rise of Skywalker.
Those things were cool.
And that's only, like, so we did the most excellent, like, CBM defense of Rise of Skywalker, yet sitting with one of my buddies with my back to him because of the job that I was doing, and he kept asking me about the Rise of Skywalker, and all I could do was sigh louder and louder. So, I don't know. The jury's still out.
That's fair.
I don't hate it. It's just not my favorite.
Yeah.
But yeah, just silly Star Wars stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the days where you get to meet a voice actor that did Han Solo in the Lego stuff, and then you make him say several things as Han Solo, and get goose flesh because it's pretty good, or you meet like the sister of one of the guys that designed the attraction, you know, just stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, they just they announced the name for the fireworks celebration that's going to be on Batuu.
Oh, really? What's it called?
Fire of the Rising Moons.
Nice. Listen to that. They're so edgy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a name. It's
so edgy.
It's like.
So ready to
it's
go?
Like Tarzan. What's his name? Tarzan. It's your baby. So Fire of the Rising Moons.
It's a lot.
And then I just went played as an off-worlder with the 4-year-old on Saturday, and they have bright suns and rising moon shot glasses.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I sort of want one.
Kind of want one too.
I think my favorite thing was that we had a really good interaction with one of the docents in Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities. Mm-hmm. And so much so that when we went to Zabaka's and looked, that Shawnee wanted to get a Doc Ondar plush.
Oh,
so
wow.
We 100% have that lovely Athorian, Ogagara's number 2, in plush form in the spire. So pretty righteous.
Pretty rad.
No Fire of the Rising Moons, but you know, what are you going to do? Water of the Setting Suns.
There you go.
That's what we now call the drinking fountains.
Goodness.
And Tornado of the Dropping Deuces. That's what we call the refreshers. Yeah, we gotta like dress up and go raise havoc on Batuu Blue.
Oh, I'm totally down. Yeah, I haven't been out for a while, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm starting to do runs again. Caitlin got a treadmill, and I was like, treadmill. Maybe I use the treadmill. So.
Did she get a Peloton?
No. It's just a normal little, like, under-desk treadmill that she's been walking on. And I'm like, well, I got to lose this wedding weight. Let's do it.
This wedding weight.
Yeah, I gained it all like during the stress of doing and planning the wedding and then buying this house and then I just didn't lose it. I was like, yeah, I just it was too stressful, and now I'm like, yeah, I gotta lose it. I don't like this.
Yeah, I got some pounds that could be shed. I feel you. So did you want to finish off with your tickety-tockety, or are we done? What's going on, Mr. Blue?
Oh, yeah. So this TikTok thing, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of it. I don't care about the politics of it, you know, whatever. If it goes away, it ends up going away. The world's going to do what the world's going to do, whatever. But I got to say, no matter what happens, as a 40-year-old man, I appreciate and have come to appreciate these young folks freaking places, these spaces that are being created as of late. You know, I think TikTok ended up being, I think it started off as a joke for me, and then Caitlin started showing me, you know, different things that she liked on it. She started posting and gained a little following, and I had initially just joined to like her posts and get her more recognition and stuff like that, and to feed the algorithm. And you know, the algorithm started kind of molding itself to things that I liked, and I gotta say, it brought me to some really cool communities of like older dudes like myself who collect action figures, you know, like the old G.I. Joes and the 80s stuff, to people who are fantastic singers and martial artists and, you know, D&D crews and stuff like that. For what it's worth, I really enjoyed the TikToks. I think it was pretty cool. I never posted anything myself just because I have a lot of self-doubt and like issues with the way that I look, and I don't think I would do well. I think I have more of a face for radio or podcasting like this.
But that's not true.
I know, but that's how I feel. So it's like, it's very hard for me to like post anything up of like me, you know what I mean? Having been through, like kind of been watching the community grow and change and like evolve over since, you know, like the pandemic and stuff like that, it's been really cool. And for what it's worth, even if it does go away, I think it had a good run. I appreciated the space. I appreciate it now. And I'll probably keep watching so long as it's like still around. But I think it's cool. And I feel sorry for all the kids and stuff who are probably going to lose out on it. I don't know if it's going to lose out or what. But hopefully they make more spaces like that. I think it was pretty neat for an old guy like me to like kind of connect with other old guys who like to collect like Transformers and stupid stuff. You know what I mean? There are a lot of like kaiju people too, who like to like talk about it and stuff like that. It was just easier to find than like YouTube and stuff, you know?
I only know a little bit, but how much do you think it actually will go away?
Oh, I have no idea. Like I said, I don't know anything about the politics of it. According to, I don't know who I was listening to, somebody said that it's essentially going to be like a full ban on it, but who knows? Who knows how much of it is like really going to go away? But I don't know. I haven't educated myself enough on it.
They've built a bunch of server farms up in Portland, Oregon, and all of that space is like rented out to other like smaller subsidiaries. Mm-hmm. So like, what do you do to all those if all of a sudden like they no longer use that for their platform?
Yeah, like what's gonna happen for all of that? I don't know. I mean,
I know that for a fact because I know somebody helped build those server farms.
So, oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. There's a couple big companies that built server farms, and so. It could be in it. I mean, I seem to remember, and like I agree with you. I don't want to get into the politics of it. But during the very last presidential election, there were people very interested in stopping it because they were getting straight like blasted and ruined through some social media like ridiculousness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know. I just I never jumped onto the platform. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I don't know. I see the value in it, and I see people enjoying it. And I've certainly watched videos from it because they propagate on other social media.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, the reels that are on the Book of Faces are 100% like through that, right?
I think most of them, yeah.
Yeah, and like Instagram has like, excuse me, a version like that, and like, you know what I mean. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, if it actually was banned, I see just, you know, something else filling the vacuum, you know?
Well, yeah, for sure. My only thing with it is that, like, I always, every single day, check my Instagram, you know. I may not post every day, but, you know, I check it, like, to see, you know, what my fellow artists are doing, you know, to see if any other artists are following me and stuff like that, you know. I really like to keep up with, like, certain studios, like Raid Studio and my friend Leo Matsuda, who is a fantastic director. You'll be seeing another movie of his pretty soon. He just put out one, as a matter of fact. But, you know, I will say, scrolling through their little videos and stuff, definitely not the same experience. Like, it, despite the fact that, you know, I'll like stuff, it is always constantly trying to push other things on me and ads and stuff like that, that, like, I'm, like, not into. And it okay. kind of pisses me off. So the fact that the TikTok didn't have, like, a crazy ton of ads, like, you'd get one every once in a while, but, like, it was mostly just, hey, these are all the things that we know you like, just here it is. I thought that was better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how popular you have to be TikTok famous. I guess you probably have to make money off of it, right?
No, but, not necessarily. I mean, there are guys who are on there that are pretty TikTok famous, but they don't, you know, they're not out here making cash or anything like that.
Yeah. All I know is my rock puns through the Disneyland ambassador from the Jungle Cruise premiere that I am very, very mildly TikTok famous for it.
There you go.
Yeah, one of the most awkward, me and the wife and the boys going down the bridge from, like, Disneyland parking towards, like, downtown Disney, and some cast member walking by goes, "Hey, you're on TikTok, aren't you?" And I was like, she either thinks I'm Adam the Chew or she saw my rock puns. So, and both of those things have happened. And apparently some famous, like, either Central American or South American TikToker, I'm on his Galaxy's Edge video. So that's popped up once or twice, too. Me and Schnitzel, my puffer pig.
Nice.
So, yeah. And, you know, I guess Tyler's dreams of me being TikTok famous with Stucca, just we'll have to see if it still exists. Yeah. I'm glad that my kid thinks I'm very cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, smart kid. I saw this. I don't know if you saw. It was like a funny meme. It was like, you know, all the kids nowadays, and I guess the TikTok generation, right? They think they're so original with all their slang, right?
Yeah.
With slay and ye and riz and all that stuff. And they posted like a quote from Encino Man with Pauly Shore, and they're like, "Kids, you don't even know what slang is. Stop wheezing the juice, man." It was pretty funny. I was trying to look for it to, like, quote it exactly. I just don't remember which one of my friends posted it. It was really, really funny, but it made me think, like, don't cite the dark magic to me. I was there when it was written.
Yes, 100% yes.
Yeah, I was just like, and, like, yeah, TikTok is the newest thing, but, like, we were there for MySpace.
Yeah,
exactly. And there was something before that even. Yeah, we did. I mean, me and you did entire. We did an entire episode about social medias. So, yeah, it shan't be the last. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything you're watching or
watching? I'm just catching up on all the other stuff that I need to watch. I'm going to be catching up on, now that we have Netflix back for a little while. I'm going to be catching up on I think it was the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And we're going to get one final season of it. I'm really excited.
And then Kat's going to help me catch up on the MonsterVerse before the big new movie comes out. So, heck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did my geeky watches on the last episode, but, bro, For All Mankind, I can't praise that. I can't praise that show enough.
Heck yeah.
It's you know about the premise, right?
No, not at all.
So very first episode starts with a man landing on the moon and planting the USSR flag.
That's crazy.
And the entirety of the four seasons that exist, which time jump about a decade between each season, is about how the continued space race between Russia and the U.S., then later the private industry, impacts the world and some families, both big and intimate at the same time. And it's pretty freaking great. Me and Heather love the piss out of it. We finished it. So now we need our fifth season, which will be was in the 90s. So now it'll be in the 2000s or 2012, yeah. I think maybe. Anyways, it's really, really freaking good. It's a dang good show. And don't get too attached to anybody because people die.
Got it.
Not like Game of Thrones die, but people die. And they ratchet up the tension on some really like inane things because it's space and NASA and Roscosmos and all that. It's freaking lovely.
Oh, wow.
I do know we'll have our Avatar review in 2 weeks, unless barring something else crazy happening. Just got to make sure that Roman's schedule matches up with it. There's going to be a Dune Part 2 review somewhere here in the future with Jack Talk. Speaking of TikTok kids, with Jack Talk himself. Are you watching Shogun Blue?
No, what's that?
It's on Hulu. So I remember back in the day when they had the Shogun miniseries? Yes, no?
No.
Really? It was like, there was like never anything on TV. There was like three channels. So like everybody saw it.
I don't remember a Shogun show.
It was a mini series, so it was like event television. It's based off of a book, but they did a series. It was in the 80s? ? I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
But let me see. Old Shogun series. This is good podcasting. But there's a 20.
The artwork looks incredible. Like,
oh, so
look at these costumes.
The original came out before you were born, because it came out in the year I was born. Had Richard Chamberlain, Toshiro Mifune, Yoko Shimada, and I know I've seen it. It must have played again, but they remade it, and it's on Hulu, and it's four episodes in of a total of 10, and it's freaking, you would love the piss out of it. If you like Blue Eye Samurai, yeah, right up that alley.
Nice.
So freaking good. So I can't recommend that anymore either.
Okay, well, it looks rad.
Oh, it's rad. It's really, really rad. And then there's only two episodes of it out, but me and Heather started watching Manhunt, which is based on a book as well, but it's about the hunt for Lee Harvey Oswald after he kills Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and all the conspiracy and parties involved. It's so far so good. Yeah. I mean, Apple TV Plus, I've said it before, I'll say it again. They don't really make bad shows. So, yeah, we're watching that. And we have only seen two episodes because that's all that's out, because it comes out every week, which is the model I prefer, I think. I don't know. We'll see when the Fallout show comes out on Amazon Prime and they break their weekly model and just drop it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a test or what. So, I mean, Disney Plus broke that too when they dropped all of Echo, but that was like really digestible because there's only six episodes.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Hmm.
All right. Anything else before we go, Blue?
No, I'm good.
I got
it all in there.
Yeah, I think that's enough. I'm like looking at the list. It doesn't look like a lot, but that's in the true nature of these Blue sessions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never looks like a lot, but we gave you a lot of stuff.
So tell people where they can find you, Blue.
You can find me on the Instagrams, as I was saying before, BlueWolfD. You can also find me whenever we get back to it, as soon as Steven probably is done with all of his amazing shows, because Steven is a fantastic actor, on Capes and Caverns, which is a wonderful superhero themed D&D sessions with the aforementioned Steven Thomas, as well as Cameron Jackson and Autumn Grabersky, You could catch those on YouTube right now. I believe they're all up to date finally. And Capes N, like the letter N, Caverns. And come hang out with us. Join. Leave some comments. Let us know what you think. If there's things that you like, things that you don't like, whatever. We had a lot of fun making it. Just a silly little thing. We never expected to get any like views or anything like that. But it's fun. It's a fun little D&D sessions with us, like being silly and making superhero stuff happen. Come check it out.
Still waiting for my podcast version so I can listen to it.
Yep. Good luck. Come on. We haven't even been able to speak to Steven for a little while, so.
I even volunteered to Steven through like PM to do it for him. Wookiee can dream. Just it would burn through too much of my phone battery to like play YouTube as I'm driving in my car.
For sure.
Yeah. So no, well, is what it is. you know me. You can find me laughing at Fuzzball Podcast at gmail.com, at Wookiee Riot on Twitter or at Instagram, Blue Sky, and Threads. You can go to the Laughing Up Fuzzballs Facebook group. Plug, plug, plug. Join over 700 geeks who talk geeky. And be someone who be one of the newsmakers. Take on the semi-official news mofo, Marshall Danny of the Greater Fuzzball Territories, and post away. I dare you. You can support the podcast. The best way to support the podcast, yeah, I'm sure there's like a donate to the podcast either on Spotify or Apple or any of that stuff. However, go to tpublic.com. Either search Laugh It Up Fuzzball in the search bar or do tpublic.com/user/laugh-it-up-fuzzball and get a mug, get a sticker, get a shirt, get a whatever it is they have of one of our designs. And if I have my way, Blue might help me get two more designs up somewhere in the future. So, So there's ideas for future stuff that you could get to support the old podcast-a-rooney. And I think that's all the things. I think that's enough. Enough is enough. That's what I say. Show enough. Who's the master? Show enough. Show enough. Hopefully you enjoyed poop shooting with us. Shooting the poop.
We should do that movie for CBM Defenders.
Which?
The Last Dragon. Show enough.
Oh, we don't need to defend that. That movie's great.
Yeah, it's a perfect movie. Beautiful.
Yeah, so why do we gotta defend it? There you go. There's your defense. Bruce Leroy, The Last Dragon. It's a great movie. Go see it. It's great.
I just want to see it again. That's all.
we could see it and talk about it, but we just don't have to put it as a CBM Defender.
Okay, that's right.
Although I don't know what it's rated on Rotten Tomatoes, so maybe it meets the criteria. I don't know. So yeah, what a great movie. I've seen it many times, and in the last like 3 years I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was on the cables, so I don't think it was the entirety of it. I think I picked it up like somewhere in the middle, but that's okay. That's fine. But yeah, that's another addition. You know, when the Duke of Deuce isn't around, we decide to shoot the poop. We poop shoot because that's sort of a little homage to Kevin Smith, who I really, really enjoy. MoviePoopShoot.com. And also just, yeah, it's funny. Take that, Deuce. We shoot the poop. We shoot it.
We shot it.
We did it for you. We're literally poop shooting because you like when this happens. So until the next level of the podcast, he is Benjamin Blueford Blue the Fourth, the Earl of Blueberry.
Me.
And I. Who am I, Blue?
You are Joe, the Wookiee Riot, defender of nostalgia and captain of the nerd way.
Okay. I will take those honorifics. Tribal Chieftain, Joe the Wookiee Riot. And we'll catch you later. We're out. TTFN. Us. Ooh. Out. Bye.